Finally, yes, finally, we are actually starting, Neen. We are actually starting after an incredible, nearly an hour trying to work out or find or track down a ghost in the machine, whether it was me or if it was Nadine or what's going on with our network here, trying to get on this podcast tonight, and we fixed it up, and we're here, and that's the important thing, Neen. We have trials and tribulations, and we go through things as we were just talking about, how tough it is here doing real independent media on the ground. We don't have space, we don't have any funding. There's hard to get support, and but we continue forward and we make it work, and we do the best that we can. So we've worked it out tonight, and we're plugging in for tonight's podcast with Nadine. Of course, it's great to have Nadine back on the podcast. And we've got a bit to go through tonight, Neen, on the podcast. A few sort of separate issues. It won't be a long one tonight because we've lost so much time. But important nonetheless, subjects to cover. I think, as you were stating before, Neen, I'm on doing the Night Watch podcast and stuff for members every night, outside of my guest podcast, because there simply is just so much to talk about and so much to cover that it's ridiculous. And I just can't believe what's happening and how much is in front of me and being sent through and what I'm seeing, just on Telegram and what I'm posting and everything. And it makes me feel like things are speeding up. I know it's not, but I feel like things are speeding up, so I've got to watch it a little bit. You do have to take care of your health, your mindset, and your family and everything, and those around you that you care about and love. And so you've got to sort of chill a little bit, and because I feel like things are going so fast because I can't sort of compute everything that I want to and get it out. to people. And I find sometimes I try to talk to people around and they're just not interested or don't know anything about it. And it kind of frustrates you. But doing this, there's so much to get out. It creates a bottleneck in my mind. And that's why, I try to, or I do get on each night just to kind of have that outlet and discuss everything that I'm seeing here on the ground and everything that's happening all over the world. It's really incredible times, and it's very important that we understand that and that we're here to absorb that. It can be tough and feel negative, but we're here to absorb all of this information and learn from it and ultimately be better people. And create a better environment for you know, not just ourselves and our families and loved ones, but for our communities. And as that takes off like a ripple, you know, throwing a stone into a nice still lake, that ripple will eventually, you know, reach the other side of the lake, and we're going to create that ripple across. And it is really an incredible time to be alive, but it is exhausting and tiring. Everything that's happening, there's just so much going on, and we do our best here on the ground to cover everything. So good to have former AVN president Nadine on again with me. Nadine usually plugs in with me once a month, and when she's available, just to discuss everything. Nadine's, of course, up in Newcastle. I'm here in Sydney, so we're basically like barely 2 hours apart. And Nadine gives us that great perspective of what's happening in her neck of the woods and here, and we can put that out to all our listeners out there, despite all the problems we have even connecting. And the thing is, Nadine, I make jokes about it. Here they are putting this 5G shit everywhere. You know, everywhere you turn around, there's this 5G towers and paneling and all this drama going on with the telcos, and they're all playing with each other's dicks over this and how wonderful they are about all their technology, and I can hardly even bloody make a phone call work half the time. It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, you just laugh at it, really. You know, honestly, it's like one big psyop. It's absolutely strange what's going on with the problems that we get, you know, the technological sort of problems and problems with our networks and connecting and things like that. It's like, really? You know, it's absolutely insane. But we'll continue, even if I have to ring Nadine on my phone. Or whatever we have to do, we'll get those podcasts out to the listeners. And we are plugging in for Wednesday, the 27th of September, 2023, for the Kraz Files podcast, of course. Nadine, we've been going since 2015. Isn't it wonderful to still be here and still have supporters and listeners out there following along with us? And their support is greatly appreciated. Everything's up on my website, krazfiles.com. Been a bit of a change over there, but lots going up. I'm focusing on Daniel Andrews a little bit this week, because I think that is very important that we put some information out there. Incredible times here in Australia. And so there's lots of information going up there. And there's even a chat room if you want to jump in there, take a look. Click on one of the support banners, because the Kraz Files members is over on Buy Me a Coffee. It's the same exact thing as it was before through Stripe. I just moved it to Buy Me a Coffee because I do so many member podcasts every night, and it doesn't clog up the website, because unfortunately our hosting doesn't have a lot of data, a lot of gigs, and I'm using too much. So what I decided to do is host my podcasting over on Buy Me a Coffee, and so you can log in over there and be a member. And I do lots of podcasting for my members, and Nadine's a member over there, and the podcasts get emailed out to you, and it's a nice streamlined platform, and it's working very well. And and there's ways to support as well, but you've got to keep us going here in real independent media on the ground. We need people's support to keep us going and keep me yapping away until you say, Adam, I'm fucking sick of you. Shut up. But we need to keep going. You need to keep us going here, because it's crazy times. And as Nadine knows, it's really crazy, isn't it, Nadine? The not just the censorship, but these draconian hate speech laws. I was just reading in Victoria how they're working on them now as well. Even though Dictator Dan has just stepped down at 5 p.m. this afternoon, they're working on hate speech laws. And as someone said to me and sent that to me, shouldn't we be protected from them, from their hate speech? Shouldn't we be protected from this government? Shouldn't we need protection from these police forces? Shouldn't we need protection from the media who don't do nothing but fucking lie and spread propaganda? Why are they going after us for hate speech? And they're trying to stop us from even doing this or saying anything online. Albanese's doing it. And of course, there's a new bill they're about to pass in Queensland, which basically can threaten us with 3 years imprisonment just for having a say online that Big Brother or the Ministry of Truth doesn't approve of. So it's very dark times here in Australia. And to have this kind of alternative media and be talking like this is very important to keep it going, because when we're gone, if we go down, if I go down here, then you need to start worrying, because we are real independent media here on the ground. And we're not the big guys who are all controlled opposition. We're the little guys. And we need to keep speaking and keep doing this because it's our right. And I would encourage everyone out there to start podcasts, start social media channels, whatever you feel you're good at. Go out there and do it now, because now's the time, because they're really bringing the hammer down on us. Great to be here with Nadine. I'll put her details up in the podcast description. We're going to talk about some important information that's happening up around your way along the coast there, Nadine, with the wind farms and stuff. There's some very critical information that you want to discuss. First of all, let us know how you are, and let's talk a little bit about the resignation of Dictator Daniel Andrews. I hate this bastard. Wow. I really hate him with a passion, and I think that it's a great thing what's happened. I think not just Australia and Melbourne is better off, but I think the world is better off. It's a better place without people like that. And as they were saying at the celebration at Parliament from 5 o'clock this afternoon, with the free beers down there in Melbourne at Parliament House, they're having a celebration. These poor people suffered through the longest lockdowns in the world. I think in recorded history, really, what they did to those people there is vicious and satanic, really. And for him to step down is not enough. I think that it's good that he's gone, but we have to press for this tyrant to really be brought to justice in some way, shape, or form. And I would like to see him be locked up for the rest of his life. I really do think he deserves that. But of course, because we don't live in a just world, and we live in an inverted world, and everything's topsy-turvy, he will just be moved off into another comfortable portfolio, just like Gunner, just like McGowan, just like all of them. These tyrants through COVID, they just move them out when they needed to. He's just a pawn in the game. He's a chess piece, and his buddies have just moved him off the game board, folks. And they're going to give him, he's going to spend his silver, and they're going to give him a nice new portfolio, probably something to do with the IMF, the WEF, UN, China. Who knows what this bastard is going to do? But in my book, it's not good enough that he just steps down. Yes, it's good that he's gone, but it's not good enough. We need him to pay for what he did. In a right world, in a just world, he would hang for what he did. And how many people have died under his watch? So I've been covering it, Neen, on my shows for the members a lot, and I'll continue to do that. But it's good to see those great people down there in Melbourne. All they did, they really fought so hard, and it's great to see them have a beer and just enjoy that he is gone. How are you feeling about the resignation of this demon?
Oh, I must have. I was absolutely like, you know, it was like a double take. Is this really happening?
Because we knew he was going to go, didn't we, Neen? But we didn't know when.
Well, it was really a matter of when. And, you know, we've been watching one by one all the different premiers stepping down and
being taken away. Yeah.
Yeah, getting taken away, different members of parliament getting taken away. And you think, well, okay, where are they all going? To hell, hopefully. Well, that's inevitable, actually. But, I just, it's just such a wonderful thing to have happened. But
you're close with people in, you have friends down there in Melbourne as well, so I know this affected you personally, what he did to people. It was just terrifying, wasn't it?
See, all of our family lived there. My parents were the only ones that left out of their family from Victoria when my sister and I were little. So, all my extended family live in Victoria, and they all absolutely hate Dan Andrews. Not one of them likes him. However, there's a divide of who has like completely adhered to the COVID rules and who hasn't. I've got specific family that are against it and others that are really for the measures that were placed, but then at the same time, they didn't agree with the severity. So they'd all be celebrating a lot tonight that he's finally gone, because, they spent 10 days shy of a year. Was it 100 days shy of a year in lockdown? So that's not living, and to know, people down there were, developing severe mental illnesses, people wanting to take their own life, some people ending up in hospital due to extreme paranoia episodes where they just were so discombobulated they didn't know what was going on.
It's 262 days, Neen.
That's right.
Lockdown. But if you look back in human history, when have human beings been locked down in human history for 262 days? I mean, actually locked down. I mean, it's an incredible point in history.
I know. I mean, Victorians, they didn't even get like a breather. It was like, in New South Wales, it wasn't brilliant. I mean, by no means was it like Victoria, but when you were told, like, they only had like periods of time they were allowed out to exercise by hours, whereas at least we were allowed to go and exercise. Yes, it may have only been with members of your family, but I mean, in Victoria, they had a curfew. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting what happened to these people, and it should never be forgotten or forgiven. And he should not be just let off. And I do think that at some point, I know they don't want to have a royal commission, but they don't want this to happen because they know full well all these people will hang for what they have done to Australians.
Well, little weasel Albanese's gone back on his promise that he was going to hold a royal commission into the COVID response. And not only is he not, all of the stuff that they did is off the table. So it's going to be like Mark McGowan in Western Australia. He actually hand-picked a committee to investigate himself. Yeah. And then they came to his conclusions and he just walked away, just like Michael Gunner. They just walked away, and this is absolutely disgusting in this country. It's so wrong.
Well, and look, in the courts, it's so clearly corrupt in their responses to anyone coming forward questioning the COVID narrative, the vaccines being mandated on people. That, foster carers had to be jabbed and they had to have all their children jabbed. When that was questioned and taken to court, you were treated like a complete lunatic of, we trust the science. And now, they keep saying, we didn't make you do this and we didn't make you do that. Well, no, actually, nobody forced you that's true, but people were put in a corner.
That's what I was saying. No one was forced.
And supporting their family. They weren't actually for, we could have been, because that was a threat that, you know, we'd end up with the ADF at our door forcing vaccines on us. Like, you know, you were living in some sci-fi kind of movie.
It was a bluff.
Which, you know, yeah. But, I mean, and how many times did you, you know, people, we're all printing off these signs that we were going to stick on our doors to protect our rights. And, I mean, it was absolutely terrifying what they manipulated through the media. And this is where, like, your platform and, you know, like TNT Radio, all these other platforms that support alternative news, they have to keep going, because they, I mean, they could argue and say, well, you're coercing people into thinking this way because it's the opposite of the other. But the fact is, like, we're not hearing anything factual on mainstream media. It's all just, it's like watching a Netflix documentary. Like, it's just bullshit. Like, they just tell you what you want, like what they want you to know and how they want to master manipulate you into thinking. And then when you think outside of that box,
that's right,
then this is when they bring in the misinformation bill. They want to push that, because look at what they're doing now with The Voice. And you don't hear one thing on MSM about voting no. It's all yes, 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 yes. And then you get all these self-righteous people go on social media, or, you know, what's it, Magda Stabansky is the best one. I mean, gosh, this woman, like, she must be doing really bad.
Train wreck.
Acting, because she's put out a call out that if anyone sees anyone saying vote no, she wants them to screenshot them and everything so she can report them as spreading misinformation. And this is what COVID bred. It bred a division in people that Australia has never seen before, because as a nation, we're all pretty relaxed. We're like, yeah, she'll be right. It'll be all right. You know, someone else will take care of it, blah, blah, blah. But what COVID brought out was that people started hating on particularly their own families for not agreeing with what they believed in, or not agreeing with, you know, MSM. And now they've just trained people that it's okay now to say, you call out your girlfriend or husband or your mother or father or son if they're not agreeing with us, because that's misinformation. So does this mean that every Aboriginal person that is saying vote no is wrong? What happened to having freedom of speech, freedom of choice? When did we stop, and when did we stop not being able to have a choice in the way we thought? You know, this is so, and this is where Dictator Dan, I mean, he is the most draconian, like, he reminds me of all, like, 1984, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. I mean, I'm sure, you know, if there were such thing as past lives, he was probably in those things, you know, living it, like, because he's the epitome of that behavior, of those stories that we've been shown, and
perfectly orchestrated.
And this is what exactly what they did in Australia and worldwide. But I mean, we can only speak from our own experience here of what we experienced. And I know other countries look at Australia and think, holy cow, like, we thought they were the lucky country, that that would be the place that you go to have a you know, this beautiful life on this great big island. People are rethinking that now. You know, who wants to bloody live in Australia? Like, it's the most,
well, don't come here,
it's the most ostracized backward country in the whole friggin' world, you know.
Rotten. Rotten.
Well,
it's so rotten and corrupt. We tell, like, people overseas, don't come here. Don't waste your money in this country. No. Stay well clear from here. Actually, I was saying, Nadine, on many podcasts ages ago, we could join with California and they could just put us out to sea and we could call it Calaralia and they could put barbed wire around it, you know, like Escape from New York. And we could just lock us all in there, you know, because California is sort of the same as here. But
yeah,
that's interesting that you bring up, Neen, because I've been talking about that, you know, like the Electoral Commissioner, Tom Rogers, he came out on morning television and he's saying like he's writing to social media platforms and everything because of people who are voting no, we just want to take that down. And the media the other day, when I was looking at it, they were saying that the no protests that people had in Melbourne and stuff were dangerous. And all of this, and it's like, hang on, I thought that we had a choice as Australians that we would go down on the polling day and vote yes or no. That's what I was told, that it was your choice as an Australian, then we move on. But now it's slowly becoming that you're some kind of domestic terrorist if you're thinking of voting no to this, as you've been saying there. So that's what they've started to do now, that you're a bad person and you need to be on the watch list. And there's something wrong with you, and you know, we need to basically wipe you off the internet or erase you and maybe even put you in prison if you're thinking of voting no to this. So that's not a choice, is it?
No, you've gone from being, you know.
Fucking hell.
You're a bigot, you're a racist, you're conservative, you all these things. And you think, like, have a look at who you're saying that to, because. Like, even if you, a friend of mine said to me, I don't know what to do because everything in me says no, vote no, but I feel like I'm a racist if I don't vote yes. And I said, what makes you a racist by saying, you know, no? I mean, just have a look and look at what's before you. What is going to change? And, you know, I like to look at it this way, like there's way more to lose than there is to gain in this whole referendum. There's so
way
much
more
to lose. And it's not just about, this is where it's so convoluted because there's no discussion on the fact that this is not about Aboriginal rights. This is about a land grab of Australia. And once that's gone, it's gone.
Like total UN control.
Absolutely. And this is where it was headed with COVID. Now they're just going to go another step because they don't give two fucking shits about us, unfortunately. And
as you said, Neen, it was the same with COVID, isn't it? If you didn't get the COVID jabs, you were a bad person. If you didn't mask up, you were a bad person. So it's they're carrying it on now, that kind of psychological programming.
Well, I mean, I'll never forget reading someone that I know had on their profile on Facebook where you can write, you know, who you are, right? Like, you know, like say I'm Nadine Sisterson, I'm the best daughter in the world, right? Yeah, right. This person goes, I'm such and such. I like to walk around pretending I have COVID so I can protect my fellow man. And I thought, like, how sanctimonious is that statement? And, like, this is where it is now. Like, I just look around and I think, gosh, no wonder people have said for years, like, I hate people, I'm sick of people, you know, because you do start going, yeah, it's just so much better not talking to people when they're so narrow-minded in their view. Like, they're just trained. They've been, you know, Clockwork Orange, the eyes are open, they can't blink, they can't look anywhere else, they're just stuck. And the mind control has just taken over and they're just gone. You know, and yeah, so it's absolutely gobsmacking to see all this unfolding. And I have to say, on another note too, as most listeners would be aware, Australia's just now jumping onto the wind farm business because, you know, that's another thing they can sell our assets off. But we had, you know, a politician, is it Chris Bowen, came up last week and to talk to the residents about how good it would be to have wind farms on the Hunter coastline, you know, and this is going from the end of the Central Coast, starting like Lake Macquarie, all the way up to Seal Rocks. And what is it, like 18,000 kilometres of coastline. That's definitely like a whale territory. It's known for its best marlin fishing in the world. It's like an absolute marine wilderness. It's absolutely beautiful. And this guy comes up and just blatantly says to this sea of people that have come on a weekday to have an audience with him, he said, "I don't care how many submissions we got against this. We'll do what we want to do. We're going ahead with this. I'm not here for popularity contest. I'm here to tell you we're doing this regardless of what you think." Now, why have, consultations with the general public, which is what they did. We all lined up and we all got our little booklet of telling us, how wonderful it would be. And then you could write your submission and all of this and, write your submission to the government and have your say there. And then he turns around and has the audacity to tell us that our voices do not matter and they will do it whether we like it or not. And I thought, I shouldn't even be surprised by this, because this is exactly what they've been doing now for almost 4 years. And what's any different? They've done whatever they wanted, regardless of what people did, regardless of how many people stood up and rallied and chanted and cried and all the lives that were lost from COVID jabs and that are still being lost, all the injuries, all the people that have killed themselves because of depression and anxiety from the whole situation of being locked down and having a pandemic that they feel absolutely no control over. And I think this is where it just keeps unfolding. Like, they keep telling us, you don't matter. Your voice has no sway. We will do what we want to do, regardless of what you have to say. And I think this is where, do you just give up and go, all right, well, fine, have it your way, do whatever you like, blah, blah, blah. But you just can't. And this is where you just keep driving forward. We've got a rally coming up on the 7th of October being held up in Nelson Bay for the wind farms. So we have a no wind farm collective now because the area is such a large area. We did feel like it was reinventing the wheel. If you had a Port Stephens group, then Newcastle, and then, Central Coast, etc. So it's one big collective now, which is fantastic. And you've got all these businesses. There's a petition out that everyone, you can hand to all the businesses that are in support of not having this go ahead, and they're taking signatures. And this goes back to the Newcastle and Port Stephens Game Fishing Club, which they will be presenting, to the government. I can't even give you a number of how many signatures have been taken, because it's just it's really steamrolling here. Like, everyone's just, they've had enough because we've had all our bees killed. Now they're wanting to put, these wind farms are going to be 20 Ks offshore. So you'll be staring them right in the face. And it'll kill everything out there. It'll be the end of most of the jobs in Port Stephens area. The tourist trade will be finished. There's so much to lose again from this. Not much to gain. It's not really going to give people jobs. Like, who's going to be working on a bloody wind farm out in the ocean? No one. It'll be people installing them and that's it. It's all just gone absolutely crackers. But in the process, myself and a handful of other people have decided that You know, seeing we're told all the time that our voices don't matter, we're once a month going to have something a little bit like Speaker's Corner in London that's held at Hyde Park. And it's called Novocastrians Really Have Your Say. So people can get on their soapbox, say what they want to say, or welcome. You know, there's going to be people there that people are not going to agree with what they have to say. But this is where we have to embrace all people's views and have a healthy debate, you know, like not a fight, have a healthy debate. And then once, you know, when the more we hear of what people want, well, then we can be collating this list of all the things that people are concerned about. And we can take them to council. We can, when council have their meeting and their agenda comes up, and you know, you go, oh, look, there you go. There's one of the things on the agenda that someone had a thing about. Let's get in there and put in questions. Like, let's start holding these people accountable. I know some people go, oh, yeah, okay, that's been done, or it's, you know, what's the point? But, well, you know, what have we got to lose? Like, we have so much to lose if we don't do anything. Like, we just got to try things and keep people educated on what really matters to communities as well. So on a council level, I mean, they're just people like you and I. I mean, I could run for council, and get in, you know, and then what? People go, oh, can't talk to her, she's untouchable. Well, no, that's not true. Like, you know, you want to get in and try and do something that's positive. So, yeah, like with everything that's gone on, we have to start seeing opportunities to keep trying to make things better for ourselves as well, and give people an opportunity to find some hope. And have, you know, have a rant. Like, what a brilliant way just to stand on top of something and really just let it rip. Because as you said at the beginning, Adam, like, you know, if there's something you're good at, have a podcast, talk about it. I mean, people, they do love getting on social media and talking and telling people what they think of things. So, yeah, it might be a bit different if they were in the flesh, but I think, as a nation, we've got to stop being so complacent and start, you know, start actually like confronting the things that really bother us and speaking about them and speaking loudly too, you know, so a conversation could be had. Otherwise, well, you know, there's no conversations being had. Nobody has a voice. And yeah, it's all over. So it's quite an interesting time to be watching all these, you know, politicians one by one be picked off. Where they go to next is something to keep an eye on.
Oh,
And
Daniel
also,
Andrews is, oh, he's extremely compromised. He's the most compromised, and it's important for people to know around the world that he's a dictator. And it would be strange for people to say, "Hang on, Australia doesn't have dictators." When you think of dictators, you think of South America and Africa and these places. You look back at the 1970s and things. You know, look at Pinochet and Chile. And people would say, "Australia doesn't have dictators." Yes, we do. And we did. And he's a dictator. That's a fact. He's a dictator. He's a dictator, and people need to understand that, what he is and what he was. And you know, that's an important thing. We actually did. Look what they did to people. They shot people in the backs
That's right.
with rubber bullets at the Shrine of Remembrance. What he did. I was just thinking about today and trying to post and repost so people remember what those police forces did.
I think that's really important. We have to keep remind. I mean, as much as people
Keep
want
reminding people.
to on, we do have to remind people. Like, you know, remember when you saw the footage of that old lady get pulled down at a rally in Melbourne?
Was the
And,
it was the it was the different the thing that interested me, Nene, with what he did is is the sheer amount of police forces. They weren't. I mean, the general police forces sort of took a backstage. The guys in blue, they weren't too involved. It was really riot squads, mounted riot squads, tactical squads. But it just went on and on. We saw footage of what looked like military.
Yeah.
And then there were like these guys in military with helmets and everything. And I thought, fucking hell, he's brought the military in, but he can't do that. He can't bring the defense force in, right? He can't. Mm. And then when I looked into it, it wasn't. It was special operation groups and units. And then other people were saying, they were showing the Predator guys. These were like mercenaries, like contractors brought in. And then there was other ones, and then other ones. He was bringing all sorts of these people, probably from the UN as well. These were outside forces brought in to attack the people of Melbourne. These weren't Australian police forces. This is what this guy did and the power that he had. So I was kind of looking at all that as well. And the videos of them slamming people on the ground. You can see these tactical guys hitting people on the ground in their heads with the backs of the rifle butts. All this vicious, brutal behavior. We can't forget about that. We can never forgive them and never trust them. And the one thing I keep saying to people is, if you think that that can't happen again, you've got rocks for brains. Because they already did it. They've shown their teeth. That's happened. We know now in Australia, because we've been fattened up, Neen. That's the thing. We've been fattened up like little piggies, and we've been given a good life. And now we understand what tyranny is, like other countries do. And when it comes back, they do everything they can to go out in the streets and they fight against it. We never had that. So we didn't know how to react. We didn't know what to do as Australians, and especially people of Melbourne. They got hit with a sledgehammer. They didn't know what to do here. And look what this guy did. But at the end of the day, how many forces did he have? 30,000, 40,000? There's millions of people in Melbourne. Millions. 5-6 million. Where were they? Where were they to help their brothers and sisters being attacked there on the streets? They're fucking cowards, and they never came out. Hopefully this time they learn. Because they're not there tonight celebrating him standing down. Where are they?
Yeah.
You know, yes, there's a lot of great people fighting in Melbourne, and we saw them, and we were right here with them every step of the way. But where's the millions? Where were they? Because if those millions of people came into Melbourne and demanded that he leave, this would have been over years ago. It would have been over before it even happened.
Unfortunately,
6 million people on the steps of Parliament, or even 2 or 3 million people, he's gone. There's nothing the police can do. They just step down like they did in London. They're gone. They just have to step away. But they didn't, Nadine. Because they're scared. And they just sat in their homes and they let it happen. And look what he did. And the thing is, with Andrews, he knew he had that power over the people. And that's why he attacked them with those. And Shane Patton as well, this evil, demonic creature. He's in charge of the police forces. What they did was beyond criminal, beyond illegal. It's on steroids, what they did. They broke every rule in the book. People were scared. People were scared. And Andrews always had that hand. And no matter what happened there, he always maintained control through the brutality of those police forces, who I'll never respect and trust again. I'm not speaking for everyone. I'll never respect or trust them again. Any police forces in this country, they're done in my book. They're absolutely done. They're in the toilet for me. I will never trust you again, and I will never have any respect for any of them ever again after what they did. I am done. Absolutely done. I know there's good people in there, but I don't care. What you did was despicable. Absolutely despicable what they did to the Australian people, what they did to the people of Melbourne. I'll never forgive them. Ever forgive or forget what those police forces did, whoever they are. They are the scum of this earth, and I hope they all rot in hell. All of them.
Be paused. They couldn't get money out. Like, this is the crazy game. It's a game. Like, that your emotions mean nothing. Your livelihood means nothing. You know, they will do anything to get you to be scared and to live in fear. And, I hope that party in front of Parliament House goes all bloody weekend and coincides with the big AFL final. And, you know, because I tell you, like, just to see Victorians, like, this year, you know, just being a massive AFL supporter, as you know, they, you know, the stands, like the field, that they're getting like 90 people are going just to the preliminary finals of the AFL, and that's not even the grand finals. So I can imagine, I can't imagine very many Victorians being sad that he's gone. I think there'd be more celebrations than anything, but yeah, God, I hope this next person that's been called in, you know, is different. But I don't know. I think they're all from the same model, unfortunately. So we'll have to wait and see, hey?
You were breaking up there a bit, Dean.
Oh, sorry.
You're breaking up there, but you're talking about how many people are going to the AFL finals and all of this. And is it the, yeah, this is somebody getting 70, 80,000 people going to events, but no one wants to go out to protect the
their rights
and not just that, and not just that, but the rights of their children and our future generations who are gonna you know, who are going to look back at us and wonder what we did to protect them.
Yeah.
And what we did. What did my parents do? Or what did they do to protect us? You know, why are we in this situation? Yeah. And it's about them. It's about future Australians. It's about making this a better country for our future generations, our kids who are going to grow up, you know. And it's bread and circuses. You know, it goes back to ancient Roman times, you know, as Rome collapsed and rotted within from so much putrid corruption, they just entertained the mobs with more violent and bloody spectacles. It's called bread and circuses, you know, and that's what they do. They feel that we're so stupid that no matter what they do to us, and after what Daniel Andrews did, he just steps down, just walks off the ship as it sinks. The debt of Victoria is more than all other Australian states combined. He has destroyed the state of Victoria. He has absolutely ruined it. He has ruined people's lives. He's destroyed countless businesses. He's destroyed countless people's health. And we haven't even seen the start of it yet, of people who have had those injections, the sickness and death that's coming. What he has done, the destruction that this demon has caused in that state, you can't get to the end of it. And now he just walks off the ship. He just leaves while everybody goes down under the water. I mean, and then he just walks into some nice comfy role and portfolio with a nice paycheck. I mean, it is sick. It is absolutely sick that we as Australians, we are relying on politicians to investigate themselves. It's like trying to get the Catholic Church to investigate themselves over all the molestation. You know? It's like parents of molested children or molested children who have grown up going back to the church, speaking to the same people who molested them, trying to get some kind of answers. You know? It ain't going to happen. It's ultimately the people. And we have to force that change. And we need to force a change within government as well. We need completely new government in if we're going to continue along those lines. You know, but we need to force change here. It's us who have to do it. We have to do that because he's just going to walk away. He's just going to walk away here. And that is disgusting. And a lot of people in the Truth of the Movement all along, they've all been saying, and a lot of people have been saying, oh, you know, step down. He has to step down. He has to step down. We need him out of that role. No. We don't want them to step down. We want him to go through the highest courts of our land and basically be put up on charges, not just for what he has done with lockdowns and everything, but crimes against the people, crimes against humanity, and basically murder. I mean, and he, you look at Daniel Andrews, the corruption hearings. That he went up against corruption hearing after corruption hearing after corruption hearing after corruption hearing, even for treason and all these things that were at, and he just walked away from every single one. No one could touch him. He was untouchable. He just sailed through the whole thing and now he's just going to walk away. And now this afternoon, his, I don't know what if you want to call it his wife. We have pictures here, and I've put it up and sent it out to people. There's pictures of him here with his family and his wife, who I believe is a man, but that's just my opinion, doing a devil sign. Don't know if I've seen, I'll send that to you now, Neen. She's doing a devil sign, you know, with her hands, and it's just like, holy shit. That is unbelievable. So and they're laughing. They're laughing. Have a look at that image I've just put through on Skype, Neen, so you can see what she's doing. Yeah. You can see.
Kevin Rudd, doesn't it?
Well, it looks like a dude. Daniel Andrews, you know, lady man there. I don't know. It looks very masculine to me. But I think and we can see with him bringing in transvestites, you know, into Parliament to read to kids and everything. You can see him giggling like a schoolgirl. He's obviously a very sick person indeed. And if he's a homosexual, then just come out and admit it. Admit it to the public. Why put on the charade? Why put on the, you know, the show? But it's the show to the public. Just like Obama and these people, they put on that show to the public that they have this family and I'm married and all this. So the public buy into this. It's all a game. It's all a con. And he's just a pawn in the game. He's done his deed. He's done his evil deeds. And now they're just going to move him away. Just like they did to Jacinta Ardern, who, mind you, Jacinta Ardern is now up there lecturing the UN about taking away our rights to talk online. And the rest of them just walked off. And what's interesting, what you were bringing up there before as well, with the New Zealand Prime Minister, the guy that's been switched into play now, he came out the other week and he basically said, we never forced you to do anything, just as Justin Trudeau did. He said, I mean, this is in New Zealand. He said to the New Zealand people live, you know, on the news, he said, you did it to yourself. We never forced you to take those jabs. Yeah. And this is what happened with Pauline Hanson as well, questioning the Pfizer people. They said, no, you know, we didn't force anyone to do it. And that's a sticking point that makes people angry and gets people upset, but they didn't actually force you. They didn't hold you down. That's assault. But this is a terrible situation that I warned people about. I told people, don't do it. Don't get those jabs because they're gonna do this. We've been talking about it for years, and I knew they were going to do this. And Daniel Andrews has done it many times. You know, what he did to the teachers was and the frontline workers and the nurses was despicable. He got them to get one, he got them to get two, and then he let them go back to work for a little bit, and then he said, "Guess what? You need to get more boosters, or you're not going to work. And if you don't do what I say, I'm going to put you in the unvaccinated basket. I've got the videos and I posted them." Yeah. That's what Daniel Andrews did. And what makes Daniel Andrews different to Trudeau and other tyrants is that he really got off on it a lot more than they did. He really got off on torturing people. He really got off on the pain and the suffering and being an absolute filthy maggot and a tyrant. It really made him feel important. And that's why I would love to personally see this guy just strung up by his neck. I think he deserves it. I think bring back the old West days and hang them in the public square for all of us to see. I think he deserves it, but it's not going to happen then. And it's not going to happen. It's only going to happen when we, the people, demand it. So it's sad days, really, for Australia. But in a way, it's good to see them go. But I look at the last few years and what they did to people. It just defies belief. And as I said, Nadine, with the bread and circuses, they just entertain people with more sports. The footy finals, all of this, and they just forget.
Well, this is, and that was my point of even bringing that up was, you know, the Victorians, you know, they love their footy and...
It's good to like sports, Neen. It's a good escapism and it's healthy for the kids to play sports. I get it. But we need to be aware as well. That's all I'm saying. Be aware of what they're doing. Not just
100%.
Not just be sucked into these sporting events.
So politicized too because, you know, I mean... even with the COVID vaccinations, they really pushed it heavily on the sports sports people, as you know. And like AFL came out proudly saying how much they supported it. You know, so did NRL. And there were only a few players that stood up and said, no, I don't want it. And yeah, and now you've got like The Voice, where you've got, you know, AFL, for example, like they support a lot of Indigenous players. So they're all like going, oh, yes, we support The Voice. And every, you know, at the moment, because I mean, the grand final's on the weekend, but when you've gone through the final series, like every game starts with a, you know, welcome to country and blah, 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 blah. And it's so politicized that it's like, just play bloody footy, you know, like we don't care about all of this stuff. And I'm, you know, I'm sorry if that's offended someone, but, you know, we grew up without all of this bloody nonsense, you know, like it was just so simple. And it's all just become like one big, like politically correct cesspool of bullshit, to be honest. And nobody knows like what's right or wrong, or, you know, well, they all know, think they know what's right, which is just a free for all. And at the end of the day, we're going to be left with nothing. Like there'll be no bloody gender. There'll be no religion. There'll be no friggin' race. It'll be a one world government. And we'll all be a bunch of friggin' zombies if we keep going the way we're going. That is. So, you know, make your choice.
Mm.
Make your choice. Like, do nothing or fucking do something. And I'm sorry to swear, but I obviously, like, I get really, yeah, this is.
It's crazy, isn't it, Neen? Like, to see, you know, people going. But I said a while ago, to be honest, with what I know, like I'm steering clear of big sporting events. I'll watch it a little bit, you know, and stuff, but I'm not going to go in those. I'm not going to go anywhere near those big events and concerts and big crowds with everybody jabbed in this 5G and some of the stuff that I've turned and what they're testing on. You know, if you go into these big events, you're very vulnerable now. And I will steer clear, but if you look at what Daniel Andrews did when he was pretending to open up a little bit, he came out and said, if you're not vaccinated, you can't go into these events. You can't buy tickets. He excluded everybody. He treated people like shit, basically. And I've got it all saved. I watched everything and I covered everything here. And I know exactly what that bastard did. And he said that you can't go in to watch these games or be part of these events. He said, he openly said he's going to lock unvaccinated people out for as long as he can. And then, like, as soon as it relaxed, everybody went back into the sporting events. And I was thinking, why don't we just boycott them? Because without us, the people, they don't have sports. They don't have games. Without us watching TV, without us watching their sports, without us paying them money, without us buying their products, they're gone. And it really does bring us into the whole boycotting thing, the old-fashioned boycott. You know, we as a nation should have said, you know what, fuck you, we're not going back. And they would have had no one in their stadiums, but we went back. We poured back in, even though we were treated like shit.
Yeah.
And it just, I sit here and I think, God, what is it going to take for people to get this? You just gave him what he wanted. He treated you like scum. You know, he kicked you in the head. He treated you like garbage. And then you just went back for more.
That's right.
And this is the problem that we have.
People are so quick to boycott companies for, you know, like McDonald's and
Netflix
Nestle.
And all this stuff, yeah.
Yeah, they'll do all that. But they won't boycott their government.
They can't boycott sports. But that's where they've got us by the balls, Neen.
Yeah.
You know, they've got us with the sports. They know they can do whatever they want to us, no matter how bad it is, and then the next day just give them sports.
Oh, look, how many people do you speak to that just think everything's gone, you know, it's all back to normal now. You know, we're just getting on with it. They don't see.
They think it was just a time in history there was a virus and the government just did everything they could to protect us.
Yeah.
And now we go on with our lives, and they can't see that this is just part of Agenda 2030.
But and when you've got people having like their seventh jab, and they've already they're up to their fifth time of having COVID, and they're saying, "Oh, thank God they have antivirals now that you can take, so it's not going to be so bad." Well, what was the point of your seven vaccines?
How many are they getting now?
I know in the UK, I know someone that's had their seventh.
Christ. Yeah, I know some neighbours and people that they're on the fifth plus all the flu shots and everything.
And I mean, it hasn't stopped them having COVID, but it's surprising. It's like everyone who never got to do a pregnancy test is just so excited to test whether or not they're sick or not. Like, they can't actually trust that they don't feel unwell. Like, they've got to have proof. And it's absolutely insane to me, like, that you would, like, willingly shove this thing up your nose. Like, there was footage of it the other night where they were talking about, you know, there's this other surge coming in. They're showing all the last couple of years. And I literally, like, I cannot watch someone be PCR tested, particularly when they're sitting in a car and someone's just coming at them with this rod. And you're like, oh, what a violation. I mean, yeah, to me it's like so horrific, like I shudder, you know, to think that so many people lined up and they'd all do it again. That's the sad thing. They'd all do it again because I think the excitement of something different happening and also the fear and, you know, all of that, like all combined, just became such a thrill to people. Like, and even now, like, people get excited to tell you they've had COVID and you're like, oh, and have you? And you're, I don't know. I don't know if I've had COVID. Oh, why wouldn't you know? It's like, well, I haven't shoved something up my nose to find out. If I've been unwell, I've been unwell. I've just done what you're meant to do, like rest and, you know, look after yourself and get better. I didn't need proof.
Well, it's a form of rape, isn't it, Neen?
Well, it really
it's a form of violent rape against the human body.
A violation against and
kids' noses. Did you see the kids' noses bleeding? People bleeding and snotting out and snotting out all these lumps.
They did this to kids, you know, and they're still doing it to kids.
It's a violent attack.
Mm.
But as you said, people want it. In some sick way, in some twisted way, many human beings, they got off on it. They wanted this in their lives, but they just didn't know it. It's really insane. Something I've discussed for a long time now, how people kind of really needed that authority over them, you know, that they liked that kind of you will do this, locking down and stuff. It was like a big soap opera for them, you know. It's like it was really crazy, but we were so against it.
Mm.
And it's just part of the podcast that I do, looking at what makes us so different. Mm. Human beings, we're so utterly different in so many ways when you look at it. But people love that structure, being told what to do, being ordered to do this, to do that, to go here and do this, to go over there, to put this up. I mean, why the fucking hell would you go into a Bunnings or somewhere and roll down your window screen and allow this creep that looks like they've just come out of some horror movie jab you through the window in your arm?
Yeah.
You know, I told people this, friends, I said, really, you're going to go out, you're going to go over to these pop-up places where these people dressed in masks and just jab you? You know, do you know what that is?
Mm.
How could you allow that? But with everything else in their lives, they're very sensitive and careful.
Yeah.
They're careful with what they eat. If you try to rip them off, they're very angry about it, you know? Oh, they don't want my phone number going out. I don't want my personal details out. What is this phone asking me? You know? Do I have to do what? No, I'm very... But, yeah, with the medical system, because it's a cult, you know, because they're part of a cult, it's just roll up the arm, boop, done.
Yep.
I'm saying, do you know what you're doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't know what, Because it's a cult. That's why. The anything to do with medical and doctors and vaccines is a cult. Mm. They're brainwashed. And they just go and do it. But everything else in their lives, they're careful. You see them in the supermarkets picking up the packets of cereals. I've got to look at the ingredients. I've got to make sure. Look at this. I want everything this. I want everything that. I've got to make sure. Don't, you know. But with that, they just went and did it.
Mm.
And I said to them, do you know what you've been given? Have you been explained? Aren't you worried? No.
Do you know what's in it?
How can you go and let someone inject you with something? That's insane. I said many times, imagine if I went down the local park and just started chasing kids or people around with a needle.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Like, hey, come here, and just jabbing people in their arm. How quick would the police be there?
Exactly. Well, you'd be tasered.
You know what I mean? There's a guy in an overcoat at the park and he's got a needle. Quick. I mean, you would be gone in a matter of 5 minutes. But, you know, it's amazing the trust that the general population have.
For a white coat.
Yeah, with the medical system. And this all came through the television sets.
Yeah.
It was all just recommended to you from the TV sets that you go down on Monday morning and you get that in your arm. And they just walked out of their houses and went and did it. It's like, hang on, what are you doing?
I find it quite interesting, like, all the masks, because, like, you sent me something today about the history of masks. And, I actually don't trust anyone in a mask. Like, you know, if someone's got a full mask and all you can see are their eyes, like, that, I'm so distrusting of what's going on behind the mask. But I found the whole experience, like, you know, for children to suddenly see all these adults, and there are a lot of babies born whose parents
were in masks. The mum was.
You know, and like when they saw your face because you didn't have one on, they were terrified. These kids were so scared because it was like, you know, they started wearing them and then suddenly there's some adults walking around without them and they didn't know what to do when you smiled. It was like they were going to cry.
Isn't it weird, Neen, because when the masks first came into Sydney, for example, when they first started wearing them, I had a dead battery in the car and I had to call the NRMA. And because I'm a member of them and the battery was gone and the guy came to put a new battery in and he had a mask on, a surgical mask on. And it just spun me out.
Yeah.
And I was just, it really knocked me back.
Mm.
And I was thinking, that is so strange because I always sort of thought the expression of human beings came from the eyes, you know, like the expression of our soul and everything. Like when you meet people, it all comes through the eyes. But taking away that mouthpiece, just gone. It really shook me and I was like, it's so weird. It actually really has turned people into zombies. And then I understood that that's why they've been showing us all this Walking Dead and all these zombie movies, because putting a mask on someone turns them into a zombie. It's just that the zombie movies through Hollywood and all these TV shows that they've been bombarding us with, they use entertainment. You know, they use action and entertainment to sort of bamboozle you, to sort of, you know, distract you away. But if you look at what they're showing you, you can actually turn a human being into a zombie by putting a mask on over their mouth. And that first day that I saw that, it really punched me. It hit me so hard. And I thought, wow, look at this. And he was talking to me, and he's mumbling, and it was just, it just took away so much.
Yeah.
That really shocked me because I always thought everything came through the eyes, but it does, but it doesn't, you know, it's both sides. Taking away that face, that your mouth, it's very powerful and ritualistic.
Yeah. I think, you know, what came up for me when you're just saying that too, is like, it really brought about people having a distrust. So even though...
Oh, you took your trust away, like, I don't trust this guy.
Yeah, but then people didn't trust you if you didn't have one on.
Isn't it weird? Yeah.
And so it really bred that, like, okay, now you don't trust anyone.
Yes, We don't know where we are.
That's right. Like, and that's so much part of that PSYOP, hey?
It's psychological operation to break people down, to submit.
Yeah. Mm. And even now, like, you see people, like, I saw an elderly lady at Bunnings the other day, and we're in the garden part, and she had soil, and I said to her, she had a mask on, and I said, oh, lucky you got your mask on in this. It really stinks down here because we're in, like, the manure section. She said, oh, no, I haven't got it on for that. And I said, oh, gosh, it'd be the only time I wore a mask. And then she just looked at me and kept walking, and because I actually didn't give her a chance to say, I'm sick or something. But I just, there was that part of me that just wanted to sort of go, yeah, this is when you'd wear a mask, right? Like, and I wasn't trying to put her down or anything, but, the manure section is pretty stinky. At the best of times, you're trying to cover your nose, but it was just so bizarre to still, you're seeing people still adhering to this. Like, she was probably, she may not have been well, but she may have just still been that scared.
The scaredening.
You know, like that she's, probably her kids or someone's told her.
You're going,
like,
to get it, yeah.
You're going to get sick covered up. Like, I thought, man, you're more likely to die from fumes in the friggin'
they don't know.
But
I've said it heaps to them then, like, I see them out all the time, a lot of oldies, and I say to them, that looks uncomfortable. That must be itchy. Does that drive you mad? No. No, I have to. No, I've had COVID. Or it's there, and it's like, wow, man, they've done people's heads in. They've done a job on people, I tell you what. Because there's nothing there. Never was.
No.
It's crazy. Far out. I see a lot of oldies. Yeah, I see a lot of oldies like that. You know, as you said, in Bunnings or just supermarkets or when you're out doing your groceries or something, and I'm like, oh, my God, they're stumbling around. And they look like they can't breathe. And they're doing it just to get along. They're doing it because they believe it's the right thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I say to them, isn't that uncut? Like, what? No one else here has it. Why are you? But, yeah, they believe in it so much. And it's the doctor manipulation. As people get so elderly, yeah, they become products, very much so, of the medical system and the doctors, and they're just they reinforce that every day they see them, and they're just constantly in them, and it's so sad for them.
Imagine
to see our grandparents.
You're frail.
You know, you're near the end of your life. You should be enjoying it, and you know, it's hard for them to breathe and be around anyway, and they're doing so much damage to their health. But, like, you know, the thing is, Nene, you would expect young people to have the masks on because they've got so much to live for. I mean, seeing 80 or 90-year-olds with masks on, it's like, do you really give a shit? You've made it this far. Why would you care about some invisible virus? I mean, who cares? Just keep living. But they're so worried. Yeah. And it shows you the power the doctors and the general medical centers and medical system has over them, just how much power fear has over controlling the rule of their lives, you know? I mean, I don't mean to be mean. I'm just saying, like, if you're 85 or approaching 90, wouldn't you just be enjoying the time you have left? Would you be really? I mean, they've made it through wars.
That's right.
I mean, they've made it through so much. I know so many elderly people who have never had a cough or a flu in their life, and now they're suddenly so obsessed with the masks and getting the vaccines and protecting themselves from something that just simply isn't there, and it all comes from the TV set, pretty much, you know. And it just shows you the power of propaganda.
Yeah.
You know, and what the doctors and the medical system can do, just scare them, and it just shows you. It's like, wow. And we need to learn from that so our kids don't grow up like that. We need to make sure that they're never like that. That's our job here, to make sure that the coming up generations never act like that, that they understand that what they have to do and how they have to act, because that's just unbelievable. To see our elderly citizens like that. It's really humiliating for them. It's terrible.
I think so.
It's like you've been through so much. You've had kids. You've been through wars. You've been through so many things. And you've made it all the way here, and now you're going to be terrified over this bullshit scam? It's just something that we need to be honest about and break down, and it's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough thing to talk about, and people will think, you know, Adam, you're an arrogant bastard.
Yeah,
or whatever it is, but we're just being honest here. It is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken to people just out at the shops. I really don't want them near me, and I don't want my daughter to see them. And I know you're this. I just don't want to. We really shielded her from that. I don't want them to see these people. Mm. You know. I explain to her. I tell her exactly what's going on, and now she knows. And I don't want them near me, to be honest. And just sometimes when I'm by myself, I have a crack at them, and I just say, what are you doing? You know. Like, why are you persisting with this? Why are you continuing with that mask? And as I've had situations with going into places and they've told me to put on a mask and I said no, and they've given me one. I said no, and they've asked me where's my exemption. I said I don't have an exemption. Yeah. I don't wear masks.
Yeah.
And I tell them, imagine 10 years ago. If you went to have a beer with friends or go to a family dinner wearing a surgical mask, what they would think of you. You know what I mean? Like they would think, oh my God, Uncle Bob's gone insane. You know?
Would have gone, here he goes again.
And you know, the crazy thing, Neen, like exactly what you were saying before, not long ago when the masks were everybody was wearing masks, you were crazy for not wearing one, right? Mm-hmm. You were mad and people were bullying you. Now, nobody's wearing them. And when you see someone wearing one at the traffic lights or walking on the street or in the mall, because no one's wearing them, and you see someone in a surgical mask, they look weird.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. Within 2 years, they made everybody do something, and then then anybody who wasn't were demonized. Then they flipped it on its head. They turned it around, and now if you know what I mean, it's exactly what you were saying before. It's they make you do something, and you're bad if you don't, and then they flip it on its head, and it's the other way around.
Yeah,
and you look at someone. I've seen them walking on the street, and I'm like, fuck, they really do look weird. There's a guy walking in a surgical mask, like you see the dentist wear, and it looks strange. But a couple of years ago, or barely a couple of years ago, it was normalized.
Mm.
Oh, man. What they did to people's minds in just a space of 2 years was phenomenal.
Yeah. But isn't it amazing that not everyone's mind was twisted?
Yeah.
You know?
We just got it.
Yeah, and there were people that had never thought outside of the box before, but they knew it wasn't right, so they just didn't follow. You know, it wasn't like they hadn't ever...
They followed their intuition.
You know, they hadn't questioned things before. And then they suddenly, with this, they were like, no, that doesn't feel good, I'm not doing it. And, you know...
That just seems wrong.
And that was really cool to see, because you were like,
Why would I wear a surgical mask in the middle of the day?
Yeah. And, like, why would I wear it on my own? You know?
Driving in a car.
Yeah. Like, you still see people driving on their
driving own in a car by themselves with a surgical mask on.
I think they probably need to get their air conditioner reconditioned or something, but
need to get their brains reconditioned.
Yeah.
They need a new brain.
Yeah. Well, you know,
aren't they funny?
The Boz had a lot of symbolism in there, and we're very, you know, on par with it. So, don't have to look far. Like, movies have been the greatest guideline to history. If people don't want to actually read history books or actually take notice, just watch movies that they put out, and they're just showing you.
Yes.
They're just showing you the way because that's the way they can condition
That's right.
people that don't want to think too hard.
That's right, Nan. That's a common theme that we've always discussed on this podcast, that they
Right.
use movies and entertainment, the music industry, especially there in the wet tropics in Queensland. And this is right on the doorstep of the World Heritage Virgin Wet Tropics area, and they're basically on the doorstep of that under Palaszczuk. They're bulldozing untouched, virgin, old growth forests. They're not just bulldozing, but they're bulldozing it to put in wind farms. And if anybody's seen these things, they're massive. They have to be brought in by these huge trucks, and they have to create roads to bring them in. So the bulldozers are just bulldozing these never touched before virgin forests over these cliffs, like rubbish, and they're putting up these fucking things. The damage that it's doing, and these batteries that they have to run on, and they're destroying these entire areas to put these monstrosities up. And as you're saying, this whole beautiful coastal area just off our shore, they want to put these wind farms, and this is what these Teals and Zali Steggall want to do off Manly. They're boasting about it off Manly on Sydney's beautiful, glorious northern beaches. They want to put wind farms all the way from here up to Newcastle, up the coast. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. They go
The wind
around.
link into the Illawarra as well,
And
so
down the coast as well.
they'd have it all around the coastline of Australia if
This
they.
is absolutely disgusting. What's happening with this name? What do you need to tell people before we plug out tonight? How do they get involved here? What's the next step for the listeners out there where you are? What do we do?
Well, you see, at the moment, the consultation phase has obviously finished, and they are looking for developers to do it. So the applications are open for developers to come in and take the thing. But what we need from people is to keep putting in their submissions, keep talking to the MPs that are supporting it. We're getting people to go and, in groups going and speaking to the MPs because we've had the Premier of New South Wales here talking because we're a very Labor seat here in Newcastle and they love all this stuff. We just have to keep pushing and pushing and pushing back against them. We need to keep getting petitions, keep getting people signing against it. We really need what we would be amazing is all the greenies, the so-called greenies, to realize that this is not a renewable energy. And I know that there are a lot of environmentalists that are against this. We need to get these people up in arms, we just got to keep talking about it and, because there's nothing to gain out of this going ahead. So yeah, look, I'll send you a link to the Wind Turbine Collective for people to join to be able to keep up to date with what's going on. It's a really active group that's incorporated all groups all the way down to the Illawarra, south of Sydney. So, yeah, they're really encouraging people to support from afar because obviously, even though, someone might live in Dubbo, it's still going to affect them ultimately in the long run. I know that they do have wind farms in, the more centered areas of New South Wales and Australia, out in the red deserts, but this is, this there's no place for it out in our oceans. So yeah, we really need a call to arms on this. Like we need to save what we have, and if anyone's an environmentalist, they should know that this is not going to save the planet. It's actually going to destroy it. So, yeah, just keep supporting us and putting in submissions is really what we need people to do, and to get loud and get telling people about it. A lot of, you know, it's surprising how many people don't know. But if you live in an area where it's going to be affected, people know. There's not many people that don't know what's going on.
It's sick, isn't it? Yeah. And then destroying, bulldozing, World Heritage, virgin rainforest up near the Great Barrier Reef in Queensland. Yeah. Absolutely destroying it. I mean, you're talking about tree kangaroos, some of the rarest animals on earth, vulnerable, almost on extinction creatures, just bulldozing it, and they say they're saving it, you know, and it's just these people are so sick in the head.
When you're looking at the wind turbines and the batteries, they run off lithium, so they've got to have lithium plants.
But the politicians, Nina, are all involved in the lithium for the batteries. That's the thing.
It all makes money. None of it's renewable.
It's going to make them money in the future. That's why they're all pushing it. Same with the cars.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, as you know, like none of it's renewable. Nothing can be replaced. Once a wind turbine cracks it and dies, that's it. You can't melt it down into something else and, you know, it's done. And we've seen Jared Rennick show footage of the turbine, you know, graveyards just hidden under forest, just left. So, you know, again, humans creating their own melodrama. Yes. All we can do is keep up the fight, you know, so to speak. But that's all we can do right now. But as I said, we've got a rally on the 7th up in Nelson Bay. It's going to be early at 10 a.m. So there'll be media coverage. We're getting a lot of media coverage. Peter Dutton was up here today, actually, and he's, surprisingly being supportive of the residents and saying, you know, we need to be heard. There needs to be a further consultation process. Clearly, the area is not happy about what's going on. So, we always know that the opposition always likes to tell us what we like to hear. But, it's getting a lot of traction. So it's very good. You know, it's very, very good that it's going across the media in a positive way, which is fantastic. So, yeah, just
nice.
If anyone's around, they should come to the rally and come and hear what's going on. And yeah, or just Google it. As I like to say, Google it. That's right. But, yeah, I'll send you the links for the
page. I'll put that in.
Yeah.
And just before we plug out tonight, I'll just put a warning out to everybody out there listening. We know about the dangers of electric cars and the batteries in them. We've seen them overseas with the storms in Florida catch on fire because of the salt. And just the other day, near the Sydney airport, an electric car battery exploded and it destroyed 4 cars. And it didn't just destroy them. These cars were microwaved. I mean, this isn't just that car got damaged. These cars were toasted, okay? And I've seen videos that were sent to me. I saw one in particular of a mechanic just kind of walking around doing his job and an electric car battery explodes and it's like a bomb going off. And it blows the car apart and this guy gets knocked out. It's unbelievable. And I was reading in one of the car magazines online about what happened in Sydney, and they were saying that this is so dangerous because this situation could be happening even when you're driving the car. So you could be driving the car with your kids in there and this could be taking place. You know, and what's happening is people are going to the mall or they're going somewhere and they're parking their car, they're leaving, and the bloody thing's exploding. And so try to imagine the situation that you are buying these Tesla and these electric vehicles, you're driving a time bomb. What are you going to do if you're stuck in traffic in the middle of summer with like five cars deep and your car explodes and you've got babies in the car or something like that, or you've got kids in the back of your car and one of those cars explodes near you after what I just said? This car near the Sydney airport exploded, the battery exploded, and four cars. And the firefighters said they couldn't even put it out. They just had to let it go. It was so severe. Okay. So what are you going to do if you're stuck in traffic and someone's battery explodes? How are you going to get out? So this is the warning we want to put out to everybody in Australia, that these things are so dangerous. These things are so dangerous, and everybody around are buying these electric cars. And now we're seeing, I saw an article out of Canada where body corporates are actually banning electric cars from being parked in their buildings. They're banning them, and people are angry about it. But you know, here's the thing. You know, are you going to, if you rent a unit and you've got a body corporate, or you bought a unit and you live there and you go underground and you park your car to get the elevator up, what happens if that explodes? I mean, you should see these videos of these things exploding. It's like a landmine. I mean, boom, the whole thing explodes, man. And if you've got cars around, it's going to destroy all the cars. It could kill people. So I want to let people out there know that if you're driving an electric car, you are driving a time bomb. And that that process could be happening even when you're just driving the car and you think everything's okay. You got your radio on, you're driving around, you don't even know this is taking place. Suddenly, boom. So be very, very, very careful. All this battery shit that's going on is just making people who are invested in it rich by raping our planet to get all the lithium and stuff. That's what they're in. That's why they're pushing it so much. And they want it. It's so destructive. It's unbelievable. And I can't believe how many people are buying these electric vehicles. You are driving around with your children in the car, a fucking time bomb. And if you're comfortable with that, then so be it. I wouldn't be. Because you have a look. Go online, Google it, as Neen said. Go and Google it. Have a look at the battery that exploded near Sydney Airport the other day. And have a look at those cars. They are microwaved. And I look at that in Hawaii and everything as well. Yes, we were dealing with directed energy weapons, but I'm thinking, man, when those cars go, boy, they destroy not only that car, but every car around them. It looks like the cars I saw on 9/11. You know, kind of like, you know, toasted like that. It's really crazy. I would never, ever be comfortable driving one of those cars around. but that's where they're going. That's where they're going. They're pushing that. And if you think these wind turbines are any different, all this shit, man, that they're burying and all this stuff, that it is really terrible what's going on. And it's important we keep on top of this. So we'll catch up on the next one, Neen, and find out more about what's going on with these wind farms. I know there's a lot of pushback anyway. There's a lot of people who are starting to talk about it. They just didn't know. But we know this is happening in Europe. We know it's happening in Holland. We know a lot of animals are dying around these things. We know they're emitting this infrared kind of ultrasound, pulsing. We know that in Holland, farmers have been saying that their cattle are dying around them. We know that they're saying that the animals are screaming in pain in the night. And we also know from latest news out of Tasmania, endangered eagles, are dying around these, wind farms, and, that it's killing, very highly endangered Tasmanian sea eagles as well. And so the community are starting to lash out there and want answers. So we're making moves. We're making moves, and we're telling the Australian public that we don't want this shit. We don't want it offshore. We don't want it in our rainforests. We don't want it anywhere. We want it gone. We don't want it anywhere. And as you said, Dutton's up there. The media are starting to pick up on it. I'm already seeing that. And that's not just from you. I was looking at it today. From the mainstream media, I was looking at all these articles from Newcastle and everywhere where the community is standing up, and then now they're mentioning it. So this is not just us talking now, it's actually happening. So we need to keep
getting air
screaming. Time. It's getting airtime now. We don't want these fucking things here. We don't want them. This is atrocious.
You can't drive from Newcastle up to Nelson Bay without being inundated with no wind farm signs.
See?
Like, people have just got, you know, like, they've been pushing the whole, like, have the yes vote posters in your garden. Not seeing very many of those, but seeing a hell of a lot more of no wind farm
yes.
signs. So it's a sign of the times, you know, like, get, this is where people have, they've learnt to get passionate now. And they're like, all right, well, you're on your own. You have to do something. So something's happening. So it's wonderful.
A change is going to come.
This is the change we've all needed.
It's coming.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
These fucking things are going to be expelled from our realm.
Yeah.
We need to expel these cockroaches from our realm. We want them out. And they will go. And anyone who's playing into this system, you're going to go too. If you're going to so easily give up your soul to this devil system, then go ahead and do it. That's your decision. But you're on the way out. It can't last. It can't sustain. It's going. It's moving out. People's consciousness and their awareness is becoming too strong. That vibration is becoming too intense, and it's going to expel this parasitic system, whether it's a part of us or whatever it is. It's something that is feeding on us. It is something that has been there ghosting us our entire lives. It's part of our makeup, and now we need to understand what this is, and we need to expel it. We need to push this out. And we need to, most importantly, recognize what it is and focus our awareness towards it. We've been too distracted. Divide and conquer has been its tool, you know, always. Distraction is the game. We need to now start to work on forcing this motherfucker out, whatever it is. It needs to go. It needs to go. And I think we're getting there. And it is, it's very, very critical times, mean indeed. And great to be still doing these kinds of podcasts. And, whatever happens, we'll just keep going. We'll keep going. Can't shut us up. And, we'll keep being a pain in the ass. And, that's perfectly fine by me. I don't buy into their bullshit and their fear. It doesn't worry me at all. We'll just keep walking through, and moving forward. So, we'll plug out, for tonight's podcast, 27th of September, 2023. Nadine will be back again, probably towards the next month, end of next month, in October. We'll sort out a date anyway, and, we'll catch up on all the latest. So don't forget to get over on the Crass Files website, and if you can, only if you can, please support me over there by being a member. It really helps me to continue and pay my hosting and everything. It's tough. I do this alone. I don't have any help whatsoever. So your support, being a member, is the best way. And I don't have pop-ups or ads or sell anything. I don't have t-shirts or anything, you know. I just do this, so I just can't. Being a member is the best way, and that's why I do so many podcasts for them over on Buy Me a Coffee. It's just the best way to keep. So if you're a member, it just keeps all this going. All this going for such a small amount a month, and it really helps keep the website out there and going and everything moving. And it keeps us talking, and it's good to support something that's real. So do that if you can, only if you can. And if you can't, just get on the website and share the podcast and let everyone know what we're doing, and get over on Telegram. We've got a chat there, and reach out and say hi. And if you want me to post anything, or you have anything you feel you want shared, I can post that. If anyone out there wants to write any articles, we have a section on the Kras Files website called The Opinion, Kras Opinion, and I can, you can send me your article, and I'll just fix it all up for you and put an image in there, and I'll post it for you. Whatever you want to do, just get involved any way that you can, because we're having an effect, and we need people's help to get on board to smother out this putrid evil and to expel it from our realm, so we can thrive again and we can get back to where we need to be. That's the important thing. We don't want this transhumanist dark future that we're being driven into. We don't want that. We need to go back, and it's time to go back, folks. And there's going to be plenty more to talk about as we move forward anyway. Plenty to discuss. And we'll plug out tonight, Neen. Great to have you on. Thanks for your time and your support and all your effort and everything you've done. Everything that you do, it's really incredible. You are fantastic indeed. And we salute you. Great to have you on here. And we'll be back again soon.
Thanks for having me.